Three times I have been beaten with rods. I was once stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I was in the open sea all night and the whole next day. I have been traveling weary miles, and I have been often in great dangers from flooded rivers, from robbers, and from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced grave dangers from mobs in the cities and from death in the deserts and the stormy seas and from men who claim to be brothers in Christ but are not. I have lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty. I have gone without food. Often I have shivered from cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And then besides all this, I have the constant worry of the churches. That was the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be here. I'm usually very nervous, but I'm really excited. So I hope we can pull this off. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for you. I thank you for this Bible study. I so humbly come before you, Lord God. I give you me, and I ask that the words you've given me, your voice would speak through me. Let there be something to touch each person here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to go back and take a moment to our opening day and share something that I thought was kind of neat. And you'll know why in a minute. A few weeks before we started, I had been praying that there would be a little nugget of inspired truth that would touch each one of our hearts during this Bible study. Well, when we met for the first day, it was Sandy Lutwiler that prayed. I can't remember her exact words, but she said, next page. She said, let there be little nuggets of blessings for all who attended the Bible study. And I truly believe that's exactly what's been happening. Now you know where the nuggets came from. You know, it just came out. You know, when you pray and all of a sudden you hear your word say something like, did I say that? Anyway, while doing this study, I went back and I was remembering when we did Nehemiah, and that was forever ago. And I couldn't help but wonder, why was there so much repetition? Where you were asking that a couple of weeks ago, Kathy, Debbie. Yeah, the repetition. Well, isn't that how we learn scripture? We learn it by going over it and reading it and reading it. Reading it, and that's how we learn to remember. I have heard my sister share many times about what the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart one day when she had trouble remembering scripture. He said, Leah, it's your job to read it. It's my job to recall it to your memory. So nugget number one, ladies, I got a lot of nuggets here. Nugget number one, read your word, read it often, and know what it says. Then one day when you're speaking to someone, or possibly witnessing to them, don't be surprised if you hear a scripture shoot out of your mouth and you wonder, did I say that? Where did that come from? You'll know that was the Lord's doing. Not long after we started the study, I went back and reread all of Paul's epistles. Boy, that's a tongue tire. Paul's epistles. And I realized Paul truly had such a tender, passionate love and concern for all he taught about Jesus. His message was simple but powerful, teaching the believers that their salvation was secure in Jesus' name, and he was coming back soon. Paul took great responsibility in making sure they understood that they got it, just like he did. And you can see that determination and love while reading all of his writings. As Kimmy called them, love letters, Paul's love letters to all of us. Paul, you know this man just literally blows my mind. And I can't help but feel I'm not the only one fascinated with who he was and who he was before his conversion and the dramatic effect it had upon him afterward. I also know I'm not the only one who's prayed for someone to have a road to Damascus experience like he did. It's as if God looked down and saw this ruthless, brutally driven terror of a man and said, I choose you. Paul's conversion was a miraculous moment, but what took place after was the most amazing power of God's personal touch upon him. His heart and soul was transformed from dead to alive, born again. Isn't that what he does to us when he touches us in that special way? As Karen had said right after our first lesson, it's as if Paul was driven in one direction and then God grabbed him, his tireless zeal, and turned him around, and off he went in the opposite direction, this time in a direction toward Jesus. Did any of you once have one of those toys, or maybe your kids have the toy, you wind it up and you put it on the floor and it just goes like gangbusters? And then just before it hits the wall, you hurry over, grab it, and you turn it around so it goes the opposite direction. Yeah. And then it continues going and going and going until it runs out of its going. Well, that's how I envisioned Paul. Only he didn't stop, and his zeal never ran out until God said so. His newfound, redirected, and determined zeal would bring opposition time and again, but his deep love for the gospel flowed through him, and it flowed through him to others and encouraged them, not only those who would assist him, but those also who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Tricia had mentioned one day that, wow, Paul, what a tough act to follow. And I couldn't agree more. I thought that was very appropriate. I have to tell you a story about one of my family friends in Hawaii. Many years ago, our friend, who was a former member of the underground crime syndicate in Hawaii, had been acquitted of murder. Though many had wondered, was there something not being told about that acquittal? We questioned those things. He would soon realize a total acquittal when he accepted Jesus into his heart as Lord and Savior. And I can still hear him saying with his loud, deep, breathy voice, "Now I carry my Bible and I tell him." I blew that one, but anyway, in unbroken English, that meant, "Now I tell everyone about Jesus and what he did for me." He was so proud of that calling, and he took it quite seriously. I think that's how Paul was too. Very, very serious, very driven. Now for a little recap of 1 Thessalonians. Remember how beneficial repetition is, ladies? Paul's first letter in 1 Thessalonians was twofold. First, he praised the new believers for their strong love for one another and their walking worthy of God's calling and the faith that was growing. Second, Paul would address a deep and growing concern for the believers that the ones who died didn't have a chance to see Jesus return yet. Well, this letter brought comfort and encouragement when he explained that their loved ones would be the first one to rise when Jesus returned, and then those who remained would join them in the air. Wait, back up. It brought comfort and encouragement. Do you think it might have been just a little bit more exciting, like it is for us? I think so. After all, that was their great hope, just like it's our great hope, Jesus coming back. By the way, do you know how fast the twinkling of an eye is? Did anybody find out that? No. Okay, I'll tell you. The twinkling of an eye. The speed of light bouncing off your eye is 186,000 miles per second. It's not going to be a time to be scared of height or speed, ladies. We're going fast and quick. Paul told them, just like we're being told, to encourage one another in love and hold fast to our faith and all that we've been taught, because it's surely going to happen. Many years ago, I have to tell you another story. Many years ago, back in the 80s, I had been witnessing to one of my husband's cousins. She was a Catholic, though not really practicing, but believed in God and knew the story of Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. Well, I had been telling her about salvation and about the rapture and what would take place when it happened. I also explained something that I had heard, that when the trumpet of God sounded to call us up to meet Jesus in the air, it would be very loud and sound like thunder. Well, one night, we had the most amazing storm. You know where I'm going with this? And at some point, there was a loud crashing, monster of a thunderclap like I had never heard before. It had to have awakened the whole island. Needless to say, my phone rang. 2:30 in the morning, I still remember this. I heard a panicked voice gasping. "Oh, thank goodness you're still there. I thought I'd missed it." Right after that, she began reading her Bible. And because she wasn't about to miss the rapture, she accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And now her whole family is serving the Lord. And my nephew, who once served time in prison, is a born-again, spirit-filled pastor in Maui. It's amazing what God uses to get our attention. Now, 2 Thessalonians, ladies, chapter 1. Chapter 1 holds such exciting prophetic significance. In chapter 1, we find Paul addressing the believers' crushing persecution and assures them that God was using their sufferings to make them ready for his kingdom. As well, he was preparing judgment and punishment for all who were hurting them and for those who never wanted to know God in the first place. He told them to hold fast to their beliefs, though greatly persecuted, because their ultimate victory was sure. I find it so exciting that we are living in a time right now that those new believers only hope to see. As we study Scripture, Paul's voice is still being heard, encouraging us to hold fast to our faith, even though persecution is and will continue to increase. As Paul encouraged these believers through praise, prayer, and promises, that's the idea here. He was actually showing them these gifts, I like to call them. It's not something to be neglected, it's something to be used. Praising him, praying in all things, and holding on to God's promises is what kept their faith strong, and I believe that's what keeps us strong as well. It's an essential part of our faith walk, and we need it more now than ever before. As Jack Hibbs recently said, read your Bible and know the word. You're going to need it. Here are just a few scriptures dealing with these gifts, but you can find many more that encourage you, and I think it's so helpful to make a reference list to keep in your Bible. First of all, praise. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Praise fulfills God's primary purpose for creating man. We need to understand that. We were made to praise him, to give him all glory and praise. Praise holds such power that we are directed to do so continually in all things. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Psalm 113:3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praising God allows his power to be displayed. Acts 16:25 and 26, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and everyone's chains loose. Wouldn't you have loved to be a fly on the wall to watch this happen? The extreme surprise, can you imagine the sobering silence? I wonder how many of them held their breath at that moment. Praise is a spiritual weapon, one that will cause the enemy to flee at its sound. Psalm 18:3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. As William Thrasher, an author, wrote, Satan so hates the genuine praise of Christ that his fiery darts of discouragement are not effective against us when we respond in praise. Praise takes our eyes off of ourselves and places them where they should be, on him. Psalm 150, 2 and 6. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I love that one. I think that's awesome. I don't know about you folks, but there are times when praising the Lord is just not the first thing on my mind to do when everything goes upside down and way south. Early in my faith walk, I remember reading 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Huh. Okay, I'm going to try that. However, I'm afraid it came out just a little bit defiant during a teeth-gritting moment. I yelled, "Praise the Lord, just praise the Lord, thank you very much." Then I paused, listening as if for something that wasn't there, and then I said it again, and again, and again. But what I noticed that every time I said those words, it got softer, and it got more heartfelt, until I heard a broken, humbled self cry out, "Praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. I really, really do." And then suddenly I noticed that my frustration had changed quite a bit. I wasn't as frustrated over what had just happened. Nugget number two, ladies, praising our Lord lowers the pressure gauge every time. Besides, remember, if you don't, the rocks will. Promises. We have been given a treasure, the Bible, and its pages are filled with his living words, truth spoken from his heart to ours. Dr. Charles Stanley, one of my favorite, most favorite pastors, of whom I've listened to since the 80s, wrote, "The scriptures record God's thoughts, words, desires, purposes, as well as his interventions in human history." You know, it's the promises that throw out a lifeline to hold us up. And one promise I try to remember and hold with a tight grip is the promise of peace. Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Can you visualize the frightened and awestruck disciples in the boat when Jesus speaks to the wild, blustery wind and calms the raging sea, "Peace, be still." And then the silence. Our times right now are very much like that scene in Mark 4:39. These days are daunting with turbulent unrest, uncertainty, and for so many, hopelessness, of which has never been before, and the whole world is being affected. People are crying out, but I believe many don't even know why they're crying or what they're crying out for. Our eyes have the propensity to focus on what is going on around us, that we forget to focus on our Savior, his word and promises. What a contrast to his command in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled." The power in those words of Jesus are so needed now. And we who have the hope and the guarantee of a tomorrow in heaven with him need to hold on to his peace and let it be a beacon of light to those who will be curiously attracted to it. And we're able to share just who it is who holds that peace. His peace is not an absence of troubling life circumstances. It's the ability to endure. It's an inner confidence of who's in control. We know that deep in our heart, in our spirit, who's in control. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It is something only he can give. The world can't give it, nor can it take it away. It's a gift Jesus left with us, so get a grip and hold on to it. No matter what your dire need, your pain, your heartbreaking scars of betrayal and lies, or deep unimaginable losses, fair or not, he has them in his hand, and they not only mean everything to him, because he knows exactly how you feel, but he uses them to draw you nearer to his love and his purposes for your life. There's a song I love. "His eye is on the sparrow and I know he's watching me." Dear sisters, trust him. He's got it. He's got you, and he's got everything and everyone that you care about. Jeremiah 29:11-14. Read it, reread it, and then hold on to it. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Nugget number 3, God is in control of all things, all the time. Now for prayer. What a continual, unceasing must. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will hear you. Prayer was Jesus' lifeline to his Father, and prayer and seeking his face through his word is what builds our personal relationship with him. Prayer is so beautifully wrapped in praise and promises. It's the most powerful, reverent form of worship and communication with our Lord. His merciful grace, lovingly given as we stand surrendered before our King. Prayer opens the way for us to have that personal relationship with him as his children. God has given us entry into his throne because we are covered in Jesus' blood. And when our hearts pray, the Father looks upon us and sees his precious Son and hears our prayers. For me, as I'm sure with you, prayer is not only telling him what our needs are as if he didn't know already. Matthew 6:8 in the Living Bible says, your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. It's talking to him with such humbled respect. He wants us to voice our desires, our requests. But I know he awaits a listening heart. Then most importantly, he wants our love. Psalm 116:1, David wrote, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. I know in my heart, this is the response his heart desires from us, our love. You know, I can't really imagine what it's going to be like when we get to finally face our Lord. But there is a mental picture I have when I think about that moment. And it's the picture of Mary of Bethany, according to John 12:3, pouring that precious perfume onto his feet and then slowly wiping them with her long, beautiful hair. As I, as many of you, no longer have that long, beautiful hair. But I can't help but believe this is the most beautifully intimate picture of love. So nugget number 4, fall in love with Jesus and let your love bathe his feet. After all, he loved us to death. Jesus was always praying, and he instructed how and where to pray in Matthew 6, and that, of course, is the Lord's Prayer. And it's a great place to start if you're a brand new Christian. If you don't know how to pray or how to approach him, I've heard new Christians ask, how do I pray? I don't know what to say. Well, I tell them, well, talk to him like you would somebody you know. Or better yet, talk to that person that's staring back at you in the mirror. I think we've all had a moment where we've talked to that person. Nugget number 5, he sees you, he's watching, and he's listening. I have to tell you another story. When I moved here from Hawaii in 2012, with all of my possessions, 64 huge toilet paper and hospital supply boxes, along with a crumbled up and broken me, my poor sister must have taken one look and thought, what on earth am I supposed to do with this mess? I remember one day while staying with her and my brother-in-law, she was planning on coming to the prayer meeting here at church on Thursdays and suggested I go too. I went a few times, but you know, the day came when I said, you know, I don't think this is my calling. And she looked at me in her most very honest bottom-lineness and said, okay, I get it. You don't have to. Well, not long after thinking about their prayer meeting, or was it conviction? I kind of justified myself. I pray all the time anyway. It's okay if I don't go. Then one day, finally in my new home, standing in my own new bathroom and looking in my new mirror. There was that person staring back at me again. And that person said, "Wait, you what? You don't have a prayer calling? Are you kidding me?" Needless to say, the conviction went on again. And I found that I am a prayer. I come every Thursday to prayer meeting. And do you know why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us we are all called to pray without ceasing? It's because it's not only a command, prayer changes things, ladies. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Nugget number 6, we have been entrusted with a very powerful gift, prayer. It should be our first line of defense, not our last. I remember Kathy from my group saying, "I really wish I had done that first so many times." And I think we can agree with you, Miss Kathy. Paul truly loved these new believers, and he continually encouraged them to stay strong and hold on to that promise of Jesus coming, no matter what happened, no matter how difficult things became. And this is exactly what we need to hold on to. Nugget number 7, strength can never be discovered or realized until it's been tested. I'd like to end by expressing just how great a loving God we have, that we would have the gift and privilege of being the elect, the called by God to be his children, and the anointing he's given us through the Holy Spirit to serve him. You see, when we read about Paul and all the others and all the evangelistic travels throughout hundreds of years ago until now, 2021, the spreading of the gospel, the teaching of faith, hope, and love, encouraging and uplifting one another, the courageous strength to endure, holding fast to faith and never letting go of Jesus' hands, though persecuted by family, friends, and anyone who discredits those beliefs, all while waiting hopefully and joyfully for his call, "Come up here." We, as they, persevere, sharing our testimony of what he's done for us in our lives, being the salt and light to those who don't know him yet. This is for all who have been called. If we take a moment and put ourselves into this study, I'm sure we can appreciate what those believers and teachers went through, so we can make it too. They had similar difficulties, if not worse than us, and yet more is to come for us. There may be a lot of differences between what we would call their primitive lives and our modern lives, but none of us are really different or really different in our hearts. We need salvation. It's our dire need, and the journey we are taking, they went through similar as well, and we don't give up no matter what. We are more than conquerors. We need to remember that. You know why? Because the Bible says so. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors, so we can stick with it no matter what. Ladies, we are living in such exciting times right now, knowing Jesus is coming back soon. As Pastor Joe from Calvary Chapel at the Harbor in California recently said, "Wouldn't it be awesome to be studying the Word and then suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, facing the Word?" I think so. That was awesome. Anyway, he's on YouTube. Let's refresh our excitement as we run our race in life toward our victory, while anxiously awaiting that loud, thundering blast from God's trumpet. May we occupy as he commanded, holding on to our faith, praying without ceasing as we keep our lamps filled with that oil of his light. Nugget number 8, we are all on display for a reason, ladies, and people are watching. Remember Jesus' last words before he ascended, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And finally, and most importantly, nugget number 9, nothing, absolutely nothing can stop him from loving you forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the teaching that we're going to get more of on praise and prayer and promises, Lord, may you impress it upon us to continually not neglect these gifts, but use them, Lord. And I pray there will be a little nugget of something special for someone or many someones today, Lord God. And may we grow in our love for you today and for one another more today than yesterday. I praise you and I love you and I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.